Hey everyone, I want to take the next few minutes to talk about what it means to fight the good fight of our great faith. This is just the kind of language that the Apostle Paul used in his writings to Timothy. Check this out. In his first letter, Paul hopes that Timothy will remember all the good things spoken about him and spoken into his heart and life. And he says that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith. Later in the same letter, he simply exhorts Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. And in his second letter, he picks up this same theme as Paul is reflecting on the end of his own earthly journey. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, we're in this series talking about exactly that, faith. And today we want to reflect on a faith that trusts, a faith that produces conviction, that we can say that through faith, I believe the incredibly good news of Jesus, and I can believe in the incredible goodness of Jesus. Our beliefs as Christians are sometimes just simply referred to as the faith, but those beliefs are not easily won or easily arrived at. Many times our faith can feel like we are in a boxing ring in the middle of a long, long match. Round after round we go, fighting the good fight of faith. What we want to realize today is that faith is a muscle and it's made to be stretched. Faith is fought for. It's battled out, and it is won day after day, again and again. We're going to briefly look at three different scenes in the Gospels that illustrate for us what this fight of the faith looks like in our very human lives. The first scene that I want to take us to is found in Mark chapter 9. Jesus is encountering a father and a son, and this son is seriously ill. In fact, demon-possessed, the Bible describes him as. And Jesus asks the father about the son and the son's condition and how long he's been like that. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 22 of Mark 9. The father is speaking to Jesus and says, "It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." You can hear the desperation in the father's voice, but check out Jesus' reply. Jesus says, "If you can," quoting the father's words back to him. "If you can," Jesus says, and he goes on, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Now, what's going on here? Jesus wants to remind the Father that he, and we can be reminded too, Jesus can do anything. He can do anything. But can is not will. The idea that Jesus will do anything and everything that perhaps we want or think should happen is a whole other idea, and not a good one. But Jesus is reminding the Father that he can do anything. See, there's a difference between believing that Jesus can do everything and presuming what Jesus should do. Everything is possible, Jesus reminds him. And possible does not mean probable. It means an open hand, not a closed grasp. In other words, are you open to the possibility of what Jesus can do? Or are you closed in a world of impossibility? Or perhaps more common, are we open to the possibility of what Jesus can do, or are we locked into our specifically chosen probability, our preferred outcome, our controlled and controlling solution? Many times that's where we end up. We often have faith, but it's for our preferred future. We describe that future, and then we say that we have the faith that it will happen, or even the faith to make it happen. But listen, friends, faith for the future means not seeing that future for myself or as I think it should go, but trusting that God sees my future and that He knows how it should go. Like we talked about last Sunday, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So faith in God is giving up our own control, believing He can do everything and that all things are possible, but all those possibilities are handed to Him. And then we place our faith in Him. Well, I love this scene because what happens next is the boy's father immediately exclaims, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Jesus heals this boy. It's an amazing miracle, to be sure. But as I read this, the real crux of the story is not the boy's healing quite as much as it is the father's confessing. We read of many healings in the Gospels, but it's this outburst of humanness and honesty and desperation from the boy's father. Man, that's awesome. He exclaims, "I do believe. Help me, Lord, overcome my unbelief." His confession is mine, and perhaps yours too. You see, right alongside the miracle is the battle. And I can't help but think it's at least some of what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he referred to the good fight of the faith. It's the battle for belief. We believe, and we wrestle down to the ground our unbelief. Paul himself likely went round after round during his own imprisonments and shipwrecks and various trials and on, the fight of faith. I like what the poet Emily Dickinson once wrote when she said, "We both believe and disbelieve 100 times an hour, which keeps believing nimble." I like that because I need a nimble faith while I'm in the boxing ring of the fight for faith. Now let's jump to the night before Jesus' crucifixion, second scene in the Gospels in which we see this very human fight of faith. Jesus is warning the disciples that the heat is about to get turned up. They're pledging their allegiance to Him, especially Simon Peter, and Jesus turns to him and says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you as wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon," Jesus says, "that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." I want us to think of what Jesus is saying here. He sees a time of testing coming, and He's saying to Peter, and I believe to us, "I'm with you. I'm pulling for you. I'm not giving up on you." He's almost in the corner of the boxing ring, knowing that the toughest round is ahead. He says, "You're going to get knocked down. This trial is going to clock you good. But get back up on your feet. Stay in the fight. There are more rounds ahead, and your brothers and sisters need you. I've prayed for you," He says, "that your faith will not fail. Turn to me," Jesus says, "and then strengthen others." Turn to me, strengthen others. Turn to Jesus. Let's all do that. Then let's strengthen others. We know how that night went. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but his faith overall did not fail. He got back up. Then he later wrote this to Christians going through their own tough times. Take this in. Take these words in. They're beautiful. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1. He says to these Christians, and let him say it to us as well, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." I just want to say that one more time. As we think about what we're all kind of enduring right now and the uncertainties we face, he says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold," he goes on to clarify. "So when your faith remains strong through many trials," he says, "it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." In other words, it's going to count. It means something. It's far more precious than any amount of gold. It's your faith. It's the strength of your faith. It's the way your faith is getting purified and tested in the tough times that we go through. So whether it's being sifted like wheat by Satan or refined like gold by trials, this is the life of faith. We're called to, and God offers us the chance to live lives above the norm, apart from mere circumstances, allowed to see things from a higher perspective. There is a richer, deeper, not easier, not simpler to understand, but fuller life. That is the life of faith. Peter goes on, these words are so poetic and perfect for us in this time. He says, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. That no matter what the circumstances are like around us, no matter what is going on, we have a treasure. It's our faith. The reward of that faith, the aim of that faith, is the salvation of our eternal soul. Something that no crisis can take away from us. In faith, we believe what we do not see. As Peter puts it here, you love him even though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. Let me say that one more time. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. A pastor tells the story of a missionary family who was visiting their home, and the mother of the family calls the children for dinner, and she says, be sure to wash your hands. Have you heard that advice lately? Little boy scowls and says out loud, germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I ever hear. And I've never seen either one of them. That rings true for us today as we think about what Peter has said and all the ways that we're on the lookout to make sure that we're staying healthy and our hands and are staying clean and we're protecting each other. It's all about faith. It's all about understanding that there's more to the world than what we can see with our eyes. And mostly, it's about day after day keeping that focus where it needs to be. This little guy in our story, he's right. We haven't seen Jesus, and yet we believe, as Peter says, and that, according to this next passage, will make us especially blessed. This is our third New Testament scene that illustrates this human fight for faith. Now I'm in John chapter 20. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's appeared to some of the apostles, but not to Thomas. Thomas wasn't around when Jesus had earlier shown up. And so we pick it up in John 20, verse 25. The other disciples say to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But he says to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. We may be like Thomas and have our own caveats. Unless I fill in the blank, I will not believe. This was Thomas's challenge. Thomas's faith was on the mat, unwilling and unable to stretch. Well, a week later, the disciples were in the house again. It says in verse 26, Thomas was with them, and we pick it up right here. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Catch this. He doesn't condemn the doubt. He simply lets Thomas know it does not need to continue. Stop doubting and believe. Win the fight. At least this round, Thomas. Start believing again. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, and catch this, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, that's you and me, friends. Because in faith, we believe in one whom we cannot see. Thomas needed to see with his physical eyes. And Jesus says, take a good look, Thomas, but know that this is not the way real faith works. Real blessing, real faith is for those who believe having not seen. Faith is made to be stretched. It doesn't always come easily. It's fought for. It's something that we grasp and then grasp again. Friends, if faith is a muscle, let's admit it. We're all getting a workout in these days. This is good. This is very good for all of us, that we can come out the other end of this time that we're going through stronger than ever in our faith. So let me encourage you. Let's stand and cry out with that boy's father. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That's a prayer that we could pray all day, every day. In addition to that, let's stand next to Simon Peter as he goes through his ups and downs. Let's follow his example, the direction from Jesus. Turn to me. Keep turning to me. Get back up. Turn to me and strengthen your brothers and sisters. Let's say with Thomas, sometimes when we get a little stubborn, a little impatient, or just a little tired, and we have our own, unless I will not believe. Unless this happens, unless I see this, I will not believe. We've all been there. But let's now stand with Thomas when he exclaims, my Lord and my God. When he realizes who his Lord is and what life is all about. And most of all, let's get in that ring with the Apostle Paul as he repeatedly uses that word picture, that faith is a fight. Let's fight the good fight of our very great faith. Let's keep going round after round today and in the days ahead, knowing that Jesus is in our corner, that he's with us, cheering us on, and that we're getting stronger as we go. Let's pray about that. Father, I ask that you would be with each of us, wherever we are right now, all spread out, watching this from different places and at different times. And yet, God, we're united in you. We're one in you. We're with you. And in that, we're with each other. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless each outlooker with loads of peace and supernatural strength, lots and lots of patience and grace for everyone around us. Lord, give us the strength to keep fighting the good fight of faith. It can seem a little slippery at times. We're not sure on some days or in some hours how much faith we have, but that's all right. That's all right. You're with us. Give us your strength by your Spirit. We trust you. We love you. We put our lives in your hands, your good, strong hands. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.